Those screams of ecstasy were faked? You should be an actress, then, not a lawyer.
A lawyer has to be a good actress, sometimes.
Come on now, you had a good time, didn't you? Didn't you?
In the shadowy lighting from the room's curtained window, she could not make out the expression on his face, but she heard the anxiety in his voice, and she knew that she did not want to make him unhappy with her.
I wasn't acting, she lied. You know I couldn't do that, and I don't have to, not with you.
Am I as good as Dana Randolph? Gaetano asked.
She shrugged her naked shoulders.
I don't know. I've never been to bed with him.
Never?
He's never pushed it that far.
But he has a reputation.
I think he's getting too old for his reputation.
Really?
He's never done anything more than make jokes to me.
Gaetano fell silent. Then,
do you think he suspects you?
No way. He fell for the Mitchell acquisition without a quaver.
Malik thinks it was all his idea. He thinks you're working for him.
Kate said, I am. And for you?
For me, he said sharply. You work for Malik only because I want you to.
Right. I know that.
How is your sister? He asked maliciously.
She's almost through rehab. She's been clean for 6 months now.
It will be difficult for her to find employment, you know, with her record.
Kate snarled to herself, I know, you olive oil bastard, I know.
I will help you there as well, Gaetano went on. We can be of great help to one another.
Bitterly, she replied,
maybe we ought to get married then, if we're so damned helpful to each other.
Even in the darkness, she could see his eyes go round.
Married?
Then he laughed, loud, and so hard that he ended up coughing.
Cough your lungs out, bastard. You and your Russian friend both.
But she knew that she was tied to this man and his schemes. There was no way out. Each step she took to help him gain more power tied her to him all the closer.
Christ on the cross, we might as well be married, she thought.
I hate him enough to be.
10. To his surprise, Dan found Nobuhiko already in the silent kitchen of the Yamagata house, sitting alone at the table closest to the big walk-in freezer. A bowl of cereal and fruit stood in front of him, next to a steaming mug of tea. He was wearing a white shirt and a tie of deep blue with the inevitable white herons on it. His suit jacket was neatly folded over the back of the chair beside him.
Business costume, Dan knew.
He's the head of the company now. Probably going to Tokyo to meet with his board of directors. You're up early, Dan said.
You too.
I need to charter a plane.
I'll get you one of the company's planes.
Where are you going?
Tetiaroa.
It's a coral atoll near Tahiti. Nobuhiko's brows rose a fraction of a millimeter.
A romantic tryst?
With a displeased shake of his head, Dan replied, I'm in no mood for romance right now.
Ah, yes.
Nobo took a crunching spoonful of his cereal while Dan followed the aroma to the automatic coffee maker that had been set up the night before.
Did you sleep well?
Nobo asked as Dan poured himself a cup. So-so. How about you?
Hardly a wink. I feel as if a great weight has been hung on my shoulders.
Dan slid into the chair opposite his young friends. It has.
You've got the responsibility for the entire Yamagata Empire now.
Nobo looked as if he wanted to say something but stopped himself. Finally, he asked,
Don't you want something more than coffee?
I'll find something. Smoked salmon, maybe.
In the freezer, I think. I doubt that there are any bagels, though.
He can make a joke, Dan thought. A weak one, but at least he's trying. That's a good sign. He got up from the table and rummaged through the floor-to-ceiling cupboards, the big restaurant-sized refrigerators, and finally the walk-in freezer. When he returned to the table, Dan was carrying a tray laden with smoked salmon, cream cheese, a tin of caviar, a handful of thin, crisp biscuits, a large glass of grapefruit juice, and the entire pot of coffee. Nobo's bowl was empty, his tea mug half-drained. The younger man was plainly unhappy and making no attempt to hide it.
Anything I can help with? Dan asked as he sat down again.
After a moment's hesitation, Nobo replied, "Yes, there is."
"Tell me." Dan slathered cream cheese on one of the crackers.
"Your fusion fuel operation."
Surprised, Dan asked, "What about it?" as he forked a thin layer of pink salmon onto the cream cheese.
"It's going to cut into our solar power sales. You're going to be competing against us."
The brittle cracker snapped in Dan's hand. "Damn." Crumbs and gobs of cheese and salmon spattered over his dish, the table, his slacks.
"I've upset you," Nobo said.
"No, I'm just too double-damned clumsy." Dan brushed at his slacks. "I don't see fusion power competing against the solar satellites. They should complement each other."
"Our marketing department believes otherwise. Already projected sales for solar power are showing a slight downward trend for the first time since we built the original Sunset."
Dan took a deep breath. "Look, Nobo, it's only natural for people making long-term energy commitments to hedge their bets when something as revolutionary as fusion power comes on the scene."
"Fusion power has been available for more than a decade. It was never a threat to our Sunsets because it was much more expensive. But now, with helium-3 from your lunar mining coming on stream, the new fusion power plants will undercut the price of solar power."
"Hey, I'm your partner on the Sunsets, remember? If any throats get cut, mine will be one of them."
"But you own the entire fusion fuel operation."
"You want to buy in? I'll sell you as big a share of the helium-3 business as I own of your Sunsets, okay?"
Nobuhiko closed his eyes and bowed his head, as if deep in contemplation. Dan watched him, thinking, it's less than 10 hours since Sai was put away, and already he's acting like a captain of industry. Good for you, Nobu. "If current projections are accurate," Nobuhiko said at last, "the long-range trend will be for the world to move toward fusion power and away from the power delivered by solar satellites. That will be very bad for Yamagata Industries."
"Then buy into fusion," Dan urged. "Do it now while the price is still reasonable."
"Eventually," Nobo continued as if he had not heard Dan's words, "solar power satellites will find no markets on Earth. Fusion generators, fueled with helium-3 from the moon, will effectively take the entire market for large central station electrical power production."
Dan waited several heartbeats to make certain Nobo had finished his little speech. He saw that his young friend was trying to keep his face impassive. The result of his effort was something like a scowl. Leaning his elbows in the mess on the tabletop and hunching toward Nobo, Dan said, "Listen for a minute. It's always a mistake to try to hold on to a market in the face of radical changes. I think your marketing analysis is probably pretty close to being accurate. Fusion power will eventually drive out solar power. Not the small-scale kind of solar. Private homes covering their roofs with solar voltaic cells. Not that kind of thing. But the big multi-gigawatt Sunsets, yes. Cheap fusion power will take away their existing markets." Nobo took in a deep breath. Before he could say anything, Dan went on. "The smart thing to do in such a situation is to buy into the innovative technology that will eventually take away your existing market. If you can't beat them, join them. Your father understood that." The young man's eyes blinked rapidly several times.
"I am not my father," he said flatly.
"Dumb mistake," Dan told himself. "Never throw the old man at the sun. That's stupid."
"The fact remains," Nobo said, "that your fusion fuel operation will be competing against our Sunsets for some time to come."
"Then buy in."
"Why should I have to spend capital that we could use to develop other new industries to buy into your operation?"
"What alternative do you suggest?" Dan asked.
"Limit your sales of fusion fuel."
"What?"
"Limit the sales. You have a monopoly on the mining and processing of lunar helium-3. Limit sales, and you will drive up the price. That will give you a higher profit margin."
Dan could not believe what he was hearing. "Nobo, I've got a monopoly because I'm producing helium-3 cheaper than anybody else can. If I start cutting down on production, everybody and his brother will jump into the game."
"It will take them years to get into the market."
"The years fly by, pal."
"If you agree to limit production, we can work out market shares